the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
I'm glad to be back with you guys here on Beyond the Pitch. I have the pleasure to be with a guy that's really not lacking in opinions, and a lot of times he's a very, well, most of the time, and actually all the time, I should say, because he's in front of me. I don't want him to get mad at me, but he really drops a great deal of knowledge when it comes to the world of football. Former Venezuelan international, one of the legends of Major League Soccer, now with ESPN, Mr. Alejandro Moreno. How are you, sir?
Well, that's quite the introduction there. I enjoy that. I'm doing well, and I'm happy to be here with you and happy to be on the Beyond the Pitch.
It took me a little while. I was rehearsing it while I was driving here, but I kind of stumbled here and there, but it's all good. Alejandro, you're here, of course, for the big Clásico, at least the first of several in the next month or so. How do you see these two teams now when you start going to when it counts, as far especially when it comes to the Spanish Super Cup? How do you see these two teams? Do you see Real Madrid being a little bit more with the edge because there's more stability, or you see Barcelona because they have that hunger once again to knock Real Madrid off the top?
It's been surprising the approach that both teams have taken to the offseason and how quiet Barcelona have been. A team that had some issues with the balance of the group, the balance tactically, the loss of Dani Alves they were never able to replace. Sergio Roberto is not a right back, and so it was a team that really became very hindered and dependent upon the left-hand side and tilted towards the left-hand side, limiting their options in terms of Alves down the right-hand side, and yet they don't seem to have addressed many of the issues that seem to be very clear for Barcelona. Defensively, they're getting older. Out of the midfield, they're getting older. So they're depending on that front three, and that's all fine and well as long as you keep that front three intact. And this whole conversation about Neymar, which has taken over the transfer, is like, well, is he going to be around? Is he not going to be around? Without Neymar, now you don't have the front three. And so he just feels like Barcelona, they have taken their sweet time in making their move, and it just, I don't know whether they're making the splash that you expect from a team like Barcelona. Now, as for Real Madrid, no more James Rodriguez, no more Danilo. They seem to be moving people in and out of places, and yet they seem to be getting stronger. The rumors about Kylian Mbappe, the possibility of having a fully healthy and fit Gareth Bale, what he brings to the table. What do you do with Isco and how outstanding he was towards the end of last season? And then, of course, you have Karim Benzema and his hold-up play, and he was very good last season, I think, at times underappreciated. And Cristiano Ronaldo, who people seem to write off, and yet somehow he scores big goals in big moments for Real Madrid. So Real Madrid seems to be trending in the direction that you would expect from a club of this size. Barcelona, they seem to be in a standstill, and a standstill at this sort of level doesn't quite work out.
There's two points you just mentioned here in the answer you gave. Number one, down here, I think everyone except the security and the equipment manager for PSG were asked about Neymar coming, and even Max Allegri was asked if Neymar was going to PSG. So imagine how much of a hysteria that's built up. And it's interesting you mentioned that there's been no replacement for Dani Alves, but then there's really no one that's been looked at as a replacement for Andres Iniesta, who at 33, 34 years old, of course, he's already gaining the mileage, and he's more towards the end of his career now than towards the peak of his career. And then also you look at Real Madrid, who tended to at least say, you know what, we have a starting 11. These are going to be our guys coming in. Do you think that the establishment of making a decision, say, these are our guys for Real Madrid, has been the strength for them? And also the lack of replacements or people coming in to refresh Barcelona have been the major problems?
Well, it has. And when you think of Real Madrid, and we can focus on the big names, and the big names are who they are, but then they bring Theo Hernandez and Dani Ceballos, and Marco Asensio continues to get better. And so it's not only the guy, the front line and headlining guys that really catch your attention. There's a group of players coming from behind that also, when they have been given an opportunity to play, they've shown the things that they can do. You go turn that around to Barcelona. part of them strengthening their squad last season or coming into last season, and whether it was Denis Suarez or Andre Gomez or this guy or that guy, it was because, well, they were going to give time for other players to rotate. And so Paco Alcácer was supposed to come in and score goals. But those players haven't really become what Barcelona thought they would be. And so now you're getting an aging team that doesn't have younger players that are performing at a high level. And so there is a gap there that Barcelona hasn't been able to fill.
Let's switch that a little bit, because it's interesting to hear your comments. And obviously you're very knowledgeable about several leagues. Which league are you looking forward to seeing most this season? Obviously, you cover a lot of La Liga, you cover some MLS, you cover a whole sprinkling of leagues. But which out of all the leagues that you do cover and do have to keep in your radar are you looking forward to seeing the most right now because of some storylines that are building up?
See, when you frame it in that direction, it's impossible not to be attracted towards the Premier League simply because of the way that the league is presented, that the way it's marketed, that the attention goes on the Premier League and the big names, big name coaches, big name players, big name teams. However, those teams, until they're able to truly perform in Europe with the consistency and the expectation that they have set for themselves and that the hype that the Premier League creates for them, then it's difficult to overlook the fact that if you want to see the best of the best, you have to look elsewhere. The Premier League is very competitive. However, they seem to take care of each other. They eat each other up. And when they come to Europe, they don't perform at the level that they should. So then, okay, if it is about quality, then it doesn't get any better than Barcelona and Real Madrid. You add a little bit of Bayern Munich to that, but that's not watching the Bundesliga per se. That's just paying attention to what Bayern Munich is doing. As for La Liga, they just have to do a better job of presenting the league. They have to do a better job of marketing themselves. They have to do a better job of showcasing their product outside of Real Madrid and Barcelona, a little bit of Atletico Madrid here and there. We have to know more about Athletic Bilbao. We have to know more about Valencia and Malaga and these other teams. And why are those teams competitive? And why on a given weekend they can beat the best in the world, which they have in the past. But as long as they don't market themselves in a correct manner, then it's going to be difficult to attract that attention. I watch La Liga because that's what I grew up watching. That's what I paid attention to when I was little, that and Serie A. And now it just feels impossible not to pay attention to the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on some great points there, because for many years, and I think that narrative's slowly changing, but maybe a little bit too slow, especially when you talk about La Liga, because everybody talked about the League of Two and then everybody else. But still, from a marketing standpoint, you still see Barcelona and Real Madrid being marketed beyond everybody else. Not many people, maybe this past year you've heard a little bit about Sevilla, but when Jorge Sampaoli left, you started to see Sevilla fall off the radar a little bit. Atleti, depending on how close they are to the Champions League final, they get marketed more. Do you think that there's a need more for that as far as, hey, you know what, let's see what Atleti can do, and seeing him, you know, the other night in Mexico. Is that some things like that need to be done more frequently by them?
Yeah, the challenge is that Barcelona and Real Madrid are so far above everybody else in that league, and because of budget, because of what they can spend on players, because of the accessibility that they have to for players, they have to be able to, the league as a whole has to be able to showcase, when a Dani Ceballos wasn't playing in Real Madrid, why is he a good player? And they don't do a good job of that, because you don't hear of Dani Ceballos up until Real Madrid is interested. Nobody knew Dani Ceballos before the U21 European Championships. And so unless they're playing with the national team, or unless they're being hunted by Real Madrid or Barcelona, these players don't get the coverage that they should.
Let me switch it a little bit with you, because I want to go something that's very near and dear to you. Mm-hmm. Rafael Dudamel, What do you think about the job he's done with the Vinotinto, maybe not so much at the senior side, but the grassroots that he's laying down with Venezuela, what he's been able to do, and of course that parlaying to the success that he had at the Under 20 World Cup. Tell me a little bit more, because not a lot of people are familiar with the work he's done behind the scenes. People are just more accustomed to seeing what he's been able to do ever since taking over from Chita San Vicente.
Yeah, and Chita San Vicente from Cesar Farias, and Cesar Farias from Richard Páez. And it's just, there's been a growth there that has been sustained because kids that are 10, 12, 13 years old, they have now a team that they can call their national team. So when I was growing up, there wasn't much to look forward to. You weren't really a fan of the national team because we were not successful. As my generation came through and we were able to get a few results here and there and made ourselves competitive in South America, then now there are kids that say, hey, I want to play over there. I want to go to that league. I want to be this guy. I want to be Juan Arango. I want to be Tomás Rincón. Not you, Juan Arango. Well, they want to be you too, but I want to be Tomás Rincón. I want to play at a high level. They have those options now that they didn't have before. Those dreams are now real, and they're attainable. Now, I take you to the Rafael Dudamel point, and what I think is most outstanding about what he has done is that the current situation in Venezuela as a country, never mind soccer-wise, but as a country, is as challenging can be. When you have lack of stability politically, economically, when you have social unrest, when you have all the things that make it very difficult for a country to really sustain itself as a society, then how do you put together a team under those circumstances? It is very difficult to put those things aside and use that as a motivation and say, you know what, okay, these things are going on in our country, but we can be a source of joy, we can be a source of happiness, we can be a source of pride for our people, because if only for 90 minutes they're paying attention to what we're doing, to our passion, to what we fight for, to our responsibility to be here to represent a country, that in itself makes a difference. Now it's important that this group of players that have been so successful at the U20 level, that talent is nurtured, that it's developed, that it is understood and used in a correct manner. And if I were Rafael Dudamel, I would use these kids in the upcoming World Cup qualifiers and give them the experience and the platform so now when the next round of qualifiers comes around for the next World Cup, these guys know what it's like, they know what it feels like, they know what a locker room in Argentina smells like, they know what all those things that separate other teams in South America from what Venezuela has become. How do you close that gap? Well, this generation has the talent to do so, but they have to have the experience as well, and now is a good time to get it.
I don't know, man. I wish I could talk to you for like 5 hours, but I can't because there's so many subjects that I really want to tap into with you because of what you know. But one final question. What you're doing with ESPN and everything else, how do you see yourself seeing the game differently now from a different lens? Obviously, now you're sitting, you know, in a studio. You're sitting in a situation where, of course, you know, you have a lot less influences around you, I guess you could say. How do you see the game now compared to when you did as a player or when you just saw it even when you were a young and up-and-coming player?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter who wins and loses, to be honest with you. I'm just asked to analyze what happens on the field, and I'm asked to analyze players and personalities and coaches and try to find a storyline in teams and individuals that are interested to people. But in the end, I'm talking about something that I'm very familiar with, that I have a lot of experience in, and I feel very comfortable in analyzing it and breaking it down and in sharing with people the things that I'm seeing. And if I'm able to communicate that clearly, then I've done my job. Some people like it, some people don't, some people agree with me, some people disagree with me. In the end, I'm just giving you my honest opinion. Some people will run away with it and others may understand it. But I'm very comfortable, very happy with what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and it's really kept me involved with the game in a manner that allows me to stay in it. But it also gives me perspective and stability. I'm able to see it from afar. There is no pressure of winning or losing, and though I miss the jitters and the nerves of just about before you walk out on the field as a player, those things cannot be duplicated. This is as good an option as I could have.
Amen to that, brother. I wish I could talk more to you, but I know you're crunched for time. Thank you so much for joining us, man. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, yeah. And hope to see you soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, and all the best with you and everything that you do.
From the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world, from wherever the beautiful game is played, this is BTP. Now, we're talking football.